Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a blessing that we may be here to join in worship in our triune God. We welcome all our brothers and sisters and visitors, and also those who have joined us via the live stream. May the preaching of the gospel message direct our hearts and our minds in faith to the Saviour, Jesus Christ, and to cause us to live our lives to his praise. Consist of the following announcements, which are the same as this morning. Due to the ministerial conference, there's no catechism this week. Following the elections of office bearers last week, Sunday morning, Consistory has appointed the following brothers to the office of elder. Brothers Jaden Bohr, R. Dykstra and N. Wagner. And the following brothers to the office of deacon, brothers H. Lamarck and A. Wagner. If no lawful objections are brought forward before the 31st of October, the ordination of these brothers will take place, the Lord willing, on Sunday the 5th of December during the morning service. And again this afternoon we welcome Reverend Poppy to the pulpit. Before we commence, we will begin with singing from hymn 81 verse 1.
Brothers and sisters, please rise and lift up your hearts to God. We confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now sing together a song of praise from Psalm 63, the verses 1 and 2.
You are my God.
To the Church of Jesus Christ, we stand in a long line of believers who have gone before us. Let's make confession of our faith with the same words that the Church has used for millennia by singing together of the Apostles' Creed. We'll do it as it's been put to music in hymn 1. Let's now pray to God, and let's ask God for his blessing. Almighty God, Father in heaven, we praise you that you are the holy God who is seated on the throne. You're powerful, and you're majestic. You're awesome in majesty and in glory. And yet at the same time, Father, you have revealed yourself to be a God of relationship. A God who draws near to his people. A God who identifies himself as a father for his children. Thank you, Lord, for this covenant relationship that we can have with you. We thank and praise you that in this relationship, you desire us to have communion with you. You want us to draw near to you, to have intimacy, to have fellowship. What an incredible gift that you offer this to us. What an amazing gift that at any time, that as your people, we may come into your presence. We can talk to you. We can open our hearts. We can share our thoughts. We can praise and glorify you. We can thank you for what you've done, and we can ask you for what we need. We pray, Father, that you would help us to grow in intimacy and relationship with you. Help us to pray to you, Father. This afternoon, we're going to see the gift that you've given us in prayer and the richness that we have, that we can draw near to you. We ask for your blessing over the preaching of the gospel, that we may understand how rich we are, and that we pursue a life of fellowship together with you. Father, please forgive us for our sins. Please bless us in the worship that we offer you. Grant that we do it with sincerity, that our hearts are filled with genuine gratitude and love for you. And please help us to give expression to that in the gifts that we give, in the songs that we sing, in the prayers that we offer. Please do these things, Lord, for Jesus' sake. And please forgive us for anything that's sinful. Amen. So this afternoon, brothers and sisters, I may preach to you the word of God concerning prayer. And in connection with that, I'd like to read two passages of the scriptures. First, we're going to read an example of prayer, Psalm 123. And then we're going to read from James 5 about where the Lord encourages us in our prayers. So we'll start reading from Psalm 123. So Psalm 123 is one of the songs of ascent. It's from Psalm 120 to 134. We have the songs of ascent. The Israelites used to sing these songs, especially when they went up to Jerusalem three times a year to worship God at the feasts. So Psalm 123, it is a song of ascent. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Now we turn in our reading to the book of James. We're going to read together from James 5, verses 13 to 20. You can find that on page 1202 of your guest Bible. So James 5, starting at verse 13. Hear the word of God. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's now sing together from Psalm 40, the verses 1 and 7. This afternoon I may preach to you God's word concerning what the Lord teaches us about prayer, about the importance of prayer and the way he wishes us to pray to him. We're going to do that by also looking at what the church has summarized to confess in Lord's Day 45 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find it on page 559 of your Book of Praise. Lord's Day 45 has this heading, Prayer. First question asks, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give his grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask him for these gifts and thank him for them. What belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by him? First, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only, who has revealed himself in his word for all that he has commanded us to pray. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. Third, we must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ, our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. What has God commanded us to ask of him? All the things we need for body and soul, as included in the prayer which Christ our Lord himself taught us. And what is that prayer? And then follows the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, after the proclamation of the gospel, we are going to sing together from Psalm 123, the verses 1 and 2. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I ask you a question. Do you delight in God's law? Do you meditate on the law of God? Do you have pleasure reading the law? Seeing who God is, what his character is, what his priorities are, what his values are? Do you also seek to put the law into practice in your life? Well, this afternoon, there's another question. Do you have an intimate life of prayer with God? Well, this is the other aspect of drawing near to the Lord. God gives us his word, and as we read his word, then we come to understand who he is, what he values, what he loves. Then the way to really draw near to God, it's not only by being righteous, it's not only by walking in those ways, but it's especially by talking to God, by drawing near to him in prayer, by asking for what you need, and by thanking him for the gifts that he's given to you. It's when we pray that we have communion with God. You know from your relationships with the people around you, it's when you spend time with others, it's when you open your heart with others, that's really when you find closeness and you find intimacy with others. And that's our Father's greatest desire for us, brothers and sisters. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to walk in close fellowship together with him. And to that end, he calls us to a life of prayer. Well, I've summarized the sermon this afternoon with this theme: prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. We're going to see in the first place the calling to pray diligently, and secondly, the calling to pray earnestly. One of the key teachings that God gives to us when he teaches us to pray is that he calls us to be constant in prayer. Then it's really striking. If you look at the context within which that calling comes, then it teaches us why God wants us to be so diligent in our prayers. I'll look at a few examples with you. One example is in Romans 12, verse 12. Maybe you want to open your Bible with me. We're going to look at three examples. So the first one is from Romans 12, verse 12. Find that on page 1127. So in Romans 12, verse 12, it says there, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Now, if you look at the context, then it reveals something about why the Lord wants you to be constant in prayer. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, God is telling us about the great gift that he's given us in Jesus Christ. And then in the first verse of Romans 12, he tells us, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. God's saying, since I've saved you, the way that you can show me you're thankful is by living a holy and an acceptable life before God. And then he tells us what that looks like in the next verses of Romans 12. In the verses 3 to 8, he says that means that you use your gifts in service of other people. And in verse 9 and following, he says it means that you love the people around you, that you abhor what is evil and you hold on to what is good. It means that you practice hospitality, that you're faithful in your service to God, that you bless people who persecute you, and that you're reconciled to those who are estranged from you. There's a whole bunch of commands that God gives us. He's teaching us what a righteous life looks like. And in the middle of that, he says, be constant in prayer. And the implication is, the only way you're going to do that is if you rely upon the Lord, if you look to him for help, and if you depend upon him to make it happen. You see something very similar a few pages later if you go to Colossians 4. So Colossians 1 and 2, it's another book that spells out how rich we are in Jesus Christ. Christ has come. He's defeated the powers of darkness. He's authority over all things. And then in chapter 3 and 4, the apostle teaches us how we are to respond to that. So in Colossians 3, we have to put on the new self. Put to death all the sinful things and clothe yourself. Put on the new self. And then in the last verses of chapter 3, God teaches us how to live an intimate relationship with the people around us. And that leads to chapter 4. Colossians 4 verse 2 continues, steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. And so what he says here is after telling us about all these things we're supposed to do, especially the immediate context there, how we're supposed to live an intimate relationship together with your husband or wife, or how children and parents are to relate to each other, or how masters and slaves are to do their jobs, then he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. The only way that you can be the kind of husband God wants you to be is if he strengthens you to that. The only way that you can be obedient to your parents, or that you can do your work faithfully for the Lord and not for your boss, is the Lord strengthens you in that. And so the apostle encourages you to continue steadfastly, to be watchful in it with thanksgiving. Or if you want another example, we're going to take one other example from Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, again, we're in the last chapters of the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters, the Lord tells us about everything that he's done for us in Christ. Then chapters 4 to 6, he tells us about how to respond to that, live in unity with each other, flee from sin, have these good relationships with the people around you. And then he ends off in Ephesians 6, telling us to engage in spiritual warfare. Starts off in verse 10 there, Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then he talks about the different aspects of God's armor. You have to put on righteousness. You have to put on truth. And the gospel of peace. And the word of God. And then at the end of that all, after telling you to arm yourself with all those things, and the apostle finishes off in verse 17, verse 18. He says, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. When you engage in spiritual warfare, brothers and sisters, you know that's every day of your life. God says the only way to do that is by praying. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplications. You know, you're engaged in this war. You have these enemies who are attacking you. And you're going to go down unless the Lord strengthens you, unless He holds on to you. Jesus Christ has to do it for you. That's the whole point of this passage about spiritual warfare. Christ has accomplished all the things that God calls us to do. And the only way that we can stand is if we arm ourselves with the Lord Jesus. If His righteousness is applied to our account. If His Spirit lives in us. And to that end, the Lord calls us to be diligent in prayer. The point that God's trying to make here, brothers and sisters, is He's saying, you can't accomplish anything without His blessing. You're not going to be able to bring anything to pass in your life if God doesn't do it for you. In a real life, is that how you live? Maybe I could ask the question this way. Do you pray because you should? Or do you pray because you need to? We often pray because we should. We have routine times for prayer. And that's really beautiful. But you know, the Lord teaches us here that you need prayer. You can't do anything without His strength. It's as you pray to Him that you demonstrate that you live in humility before Him. That you're dependent upon Him for His blessing. That's in question answer 116 of the Catechism. We confess that. God will grant His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. We have an example of that in Psalm 23. You have the psalmist there. He's getting assaulted by other people. You have people who criticize him and who attack him. He's being scorned. And when he's in that place, then he says, the only way we can handle that, the only way we can deal with it in a good way, is if the Lord helps us with that. As the eyes of a servant look to their master, as the eyes of a servant girl looks to her mistress, so our eyes look to You, till You give us mercy, till You grant us grace. Lord, we need Your help in this. We're getting attacked and we're going down. And we can't handle it, and You have to do it for us. Well, here's a man, he doesn't pray just because he should, but he prays because he needs to. It's the only way that he can pull it together, and he can make things happen. It's really striking when you read through the book of Acts, that you read about the early Christian church in the New Testament era, and one of the things that it tells us about them is how dependent they are upon the Lord in prayer. So in Acts 1:14, we're told that one of the main priorities of the 120 believers immediately after Christ's ascension is that they constantly join together in prayer. And we're told a similar thing after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. That's really interesting, this word. It's used numerous times in Acts. It says they devoted themselves to prayer. And the word for devoted to literally means to persist at something. To occupy yourself diligently to something. To pay close attention to something. So these believers, they're persistent in prayer. They pay close attention to prayer. They often met together in order to pray. The motivation, it's in Acts 6 verse 2, there we're told about the situation where there's some trouble in the church. You had these widows who are not being looked after, And that caused division within the congregation. And the apostles said, listen, we need to find another solution to this. We need some men who are going to be deacons, who are able to help the widows. And why was that so important? Luke 6 verse 2, it's not right for us that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out men from among you, seven men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Again, we will persist in praying. We will pay careful attention to praying. We're going to make sure that we're busy praying to God and also preaching the gospel. Well, these men were at a stage where they're bringing the gospel to new believers. How is it possible for someone who's dead in sin to become alive in Christ? It's the work of God. God has to do it. The Holy Spirit has to change it. Change the person's heart. And so the apostles say, we're going to depend upon God in prayer. We're going to ask Him. We're going to diligently pray to Him that God would affect this in the hearts and lives of the people. This is the only way that our work is ever going to bear any kind of fruit. Well, it's the same attitude that the Lord, He teaches us, brothers and sisters. In Luke 11, God says, if you are diligent in prayer, if you ask, if you knock, if you seek, then I'll grant it to you. And He specifies the gift of the Holy Spirit. I will give you the gift of my Spirit when you ask me for it. Well, what a treasure. Sometimes we desperately need wisdom. We don't know how to deal with things. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to put it together. You want to speak to one of your kids and things aren't going well. You're trying to find the right words to say and the right way to encourage him. You're trying to find the right balance between admonishing him and showing grace towards him, reminding him of the grace of God in Christ. And how do you do it? We need to pray. We need to ask God to give you the right words to say. You know, real life, it's interesting here in the confession, it says, what do we pray for? We pray for all things we need for body and soul. It's not just the spiritual things, but it's also the physical things. Now, a lot of us have a pattern before we eat a meal that we'll pray to God for a blessing over it. It's really good to think about that. You know, some people are celiac. Some people, they eat, but it puts plaque in their arteries. Some people, they don't have the ability to properly metabolize the food. Some people become diabetics. Well, it's only if God blesses your food that it's actually going to nourish you and that things are going to go good for you. And so it's good to ask for that. Lord, we're about to eat this meal. Will you please bless the food? Will you strengthen us with it? Will you nourish our bodies? In real life, it's everything. It's in our work. It's in our relationships. It's in our friendships. It's with spiritual discernment. Now, sometimes we worry about things in our society. We wonder how our society is going to go, what kind of laws our governments are going to pass. Well, in all these things, the Lord calls us to be devoted to prayer, to humbly trust that God will do whatever we need. You know, if you live that kind of a life, if you are humbly dependent upon the Lord, if you seek His face and if you call upon Him, then one of the beautiful things is that God uses that to build a relationship between you and Him. It's as you call upon Him in prayer that He loves to grant you your requests. And as He gives you what you need, then your heart's filled with thanks to Him. And next time you pray again, you realize that He's faithful and that He does love you and He does care about you. And so again, you call upon Him. And so He uses your prayers in order to build up this relationship between you and Him. It's as you pray and as you receive that you thank Him and that you depend upon Him. And you grow closer to Him the more that you pray to Him, the more that you look to Him in faith. And then the other reason the Lord calls us to be constant in prayer is because he says in a really mysterious way, he says, I use your prayers to bring about my will in the world. And sometimes we think God's independent, almost like the deists. They kind of think of God as setting the world up like this clockwork, putting it in motion and standing back and letting it go. But the truth of the scriptures is that God says, the way I bring about my will, the way I accomplish my purposes, is through your prayers. You have it in Revelation 5. The saints are standing before the throne. John is standing before the throne. And the Lamb of God is standing there. And John sees the scrolls. He sees the scrolls of world history that are bound with seals. And he wants history to be unfolded. He wants it to come to pass. But there's no one who's able to open the seals and to unroll the scrolls. And so he's weeping. He's weeping and weeping because no one can do this. And then the angel says to him, he says, don't cry, John. The Lamb can do this. He's able to make it happen. But then there's this curious verse. Just before that, before the Lamb opens up the first scroll, we're told about the prayers of the saints, how they offer the incense, the prayer of the saints. And it's after this incense gets offered, after the prayers of the saints go up to heaven, that the Lamb opens the first scroll and that world history is unfolded. It says your prayers go up to your Father, that he listens to those things, and that he uses those prayers to accomplish his purposes in this world. It's the message we read together in James 5. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. God says your prayers, they have power. They lead to effect. When you ask God for certain things, then he listens to you. He takes that into heart. And he works with that in accomplishing his purposes in this world. You know, we find it hard to believe, but you have a man like Elijah who prays to God. And the Lord listens to the man and he closes up the heavens. And for 3.5 years it doesn't rain. And then he prays again and the Lord again listens to him and he opens the heavens. And he sends down his rain. And God says, he's a man just like us. He's no different from us. And so he's saying, when you pray, then God will listen to that. Is any of you sick? Let him pray. If you've sinned, then call the elders of the church and let them pray over you. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Your Father is willing to listen to what you have to say, brothers and sisters. He loves you, and he relates to you. He listens to what you have to say, and he uses that in accomplishing his purposes. It's really hard for us to imagine that the Lord would be willing to have that kind of a relationship with us, to have that kind of intimacy, and to use us. But that is his pleasure. And that leads to his glory. And then, if you struggle to be diligent, if you don't have the same kind of persistence that the apostles did, and oftentimes the Lord has a way to help you with that. Now, if your prayers, if they're more pat phrases than really praying earnestly from the heart, then the Lord often takes that in hand as well, and he's able to help you with that. Many times the way that the Lord does that is by making aware of our need of him. When everything's ticking along, and sometimes we can forget him. But it's the accidents and it's in the illnesses that we realize our humble dependence. They're not mistakes, but they're tools in the hand of a loving God. Our Father uses it to draw us close to him, to teach us to rely upon him. It's the sad things in our families that God uses to bring us to our knees and to lead us to humble dependence. Then we implore God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Then we wrestle with finding the right words and we open our scriptures, and we see how the believers in the past have prayed about these things, what their priorities were. You know, if you want to grow in your prayers, brothers and sisters, then I'd encourage you to pray through the Psalms. If you're struggling in life, if you're thankful in life, you know, open up the book of Psalms and use the Psalter. Learn the Psalter. Use the Psalms as a way to express yourself before God. Every situation that you could ever find yourself in, they're written about the Psalms. The Holy Spirit has given you words, good words to say, so that you're able to pray to God and to bring those things before the throne of grace. You know, if you need help with that, then the Holy Spirit will help you with that. When Jesus Christ came to this world, then he had an intimate life of prayer with the Father. He loved his Father. He used to slip off to lonely places and pray. Mark 1 says that he spent the whole night praying to God. Well, he had this great dependence upon his Father. He had this intimate relationship with his Father in heaven. And he promises us, he says, if you need to learn how to pray, if you need to know how to do it, he says, you can ask me, and I'll give you my Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, the Spirit takes the prayers of the saints, and he sanctifies them. He makes them right before the Father, so that when God hears your prayers, that he knows what you're asking for, and he knows how to respond to that. Because the Spirit, he fixes it for you. And the great blessing that we also have in Christ is that Christ makes it possible for us to go to the Father. You never have to draw away from him. You never have to feel that God, he won't listen to you, or he doesn't want to listen to you, or he doesn't want to have fellowship with you. You don't have to feel that you're not important. You don't have to feel that your issues aren't worthy of attention. And Christ tells us that for his sake, that the Father delights to hear us. He delights to have us in his presence. It's the beautiful passage in Hebrews 4, where the author to the Hebrews reflects on how Christ, our high priest, has gone before us. And then in verse 15 it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Since Christ has opened the way, you can go to your Father. You can seek his help, and you can rely upon his grace. And the Lord loves to hear you. What a treasure that we receive from God, brothers and sisters. What an intimacy that he desires for us. How rich we are in Jesus Christ. Is it going to make a difference in your prayers? Will you reflect on who God is and what God has done for you? Will you rely upon him in humble dependence? Will you seek his face and treasure his grace? It's what he desires. If you want to have a good week, and pray diligently and pray earnestly, your Father will love to bless you. Amen. Let's sing from that psalm, from Psalm 123. We're going to sing the verses 1 and 2. Let's now call upon God in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has opened the way for us to address you in prayer. We thank you, Father, that you're a God who desires to have a relationship with us, that you're willing to listen to us as we draw near to you. Thank you, Father, for calling us, for teaching us to be diligent in prayer. Lord, our natural inclination is to try to figure out life in our own strength. We try to accomplish the different things we have to do by our own power. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this afternoon, and we confess that that's a useless approach to life, that nothing comes of that. You are the Lord, and you have the power, and you are the one who works all things out. And so you call us to humble ourselves before you, to depend upon you in prayer, to seek your face and to rely upon your grace. And we do that, Lord. We confess that we're sinners, that we need your grace. And so we plead with you for the forgiveness of our sins and for your grace in our lives. We confess, Father, that we're dead in sin, that our hearts and our affections, they're full of darkness. They're full of evil. Our natural inclination is to want all sorts of terrible things. But we thank and praise you, Lord, that you promised to make us alive in Christ, to make us into new people. You promised to live in our hearts with your Holy Spirit. And so we pray to you, Father, that you would do that. We ask that the light of your Spirit would shine into our hearts, that you would dwell in us richly, and that in this way that we may have an intimate walk with you, that we may obey your laws, and that we may rest under your grace. Father, we pray that you would give us great faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to realize the power that Christ has on your throne. Help us to understand that he can protect us from the attacks that we face. We pray, Father, that for Jesus' sake, that you would keep us safe, that you protect us from Satan's assaults, and that you bring us into the kingdom. We ask, Lord, that you also bless the proclamation of the gospel, so that it not only strengthens us in faith, but also that through the gospel that you would bring others to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that the message of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ would shine out in this world, and that you would bring all your children to faith in Christ, that you would bring them into the kingdom, that you destroy Satan's kingdom, and that you bring to nothing the work of his demons. Father, sometimes we face demonic attacks. We know of your people around the world who at different times in different places, they're persecuted. They also face demonic attacks as well. We thank you, Father, that you have the power over the demons. And we ask that you would keep us safe with your power. Please put a hedge around us and protect us from Satan and his demons. Dear Father in heaven, we also pray for your blessing in our relationships with the people around us. Grant that in our families, that husbands and wives, that we may love each other from the heart. That we're able to love our children, to teach and instruct them in your ways, and that our children are able to listen to their parents and to take to heart what they say. Please help us, Father, in the work that we do. We often wake up in the morning, we race off to work. Lord, help us to pray to you for your blessing over that. We pray that you would help us to do our work in faithfulness before you, and that you would grant your grace. There's often so much frustration and so much difficulty. It's a result of the curse on sin. But we pray that with your Holy Spirit, that you enable us to live lives as citizens of the kingdom, and that this would also affect our work, that we can prosper and that we can be successful in the work that we do for you. Dear Father in heaven, we also want to pray for you, for your blessing in our congregation. I want to ask, Lord, that you build us all up in the faith, that you lead us to maturity in Christ, that you give us love for one another, and that you grant us unity as brothers and sisters. We thank you that you have given this gift in rich measure in many ways. We pray, Lord, that this may increase more and more. Help us to grow in our Lord Jesus Christ and an understanding of what he has done for us. Father in heaven, we also wish to ask you that you bless the mission work that's going on in PNG. We're grateful for the beautiful Sunday we could have last week. Please be with our missionaries now, Lord, as they continue the work. We pray also for the RCBC, for the Bible College. I want to ask, Lord, that you bless the instructors there. Please grant that they're able to faithfully do the work, that another generation of men can arise, that they can grow in spiritual maturity, that they're able to provide leadership in your churches. Father in heaven, we pray that you would be with the indigenous pastors, that you strengthen them for the task that you've given them, that they may be faithful in that, that they may have joy, that they can demonstrate for the other members of their culture what it looks like to live a life devoted to Jesus Christ, a life lived by his power. Father, thank you for allowing us to be involved in this work. Thank you also this afternoon that we can have a collection for this work. We pray for your blessing over the thank offerings we bring, and we ask that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father, we ask that you would also take care of us in the coming week. Please bless each one of us in all the different circumstances. Later on this week, the Eucalypt is hoping to have their annual general meeting. I wish to ask for your blessing over that, Father. Grant that as an association that we're able to care for the special members of our church. Please grant that we make good decisions for the care. And we pray that you would bless that. We also wish to ask, Lord, for your people, for these special members, that you would be near to them, that you provide them with everything that they need, that you reveal yourself to them, that you live in their hearts with your Holy Spirit, that you give them peace and joy and gratitude. Thank you, Lord, that they can be giants in your kingdom, that they often have a great deal of humble dependence upon you, and we pray that you would strengthen them in that. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the Sunday that we can have from you. Thank you that you love us enough to give us a day of rest. We can start our work, or start our week by setting aside our work and by having fellowship with you and with your people. Please accept our thanks, Lord. You love us a lot. We want you to know how much we love you as well. Please hear us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, the collection this afternoon is for the mission work in PNG. And then after the collection, we're going to sing together from hymn 83, the verses 1 and 2. Receive now the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.